all those joining in on us today. Thank you all so much for joining us. We're still in this little series helping you get off to a good start for the new year. A lot of times the way you start is the way you finish. But I want to tell you, in the midst of getting off to a good start, you got to have a mindset to finish strong. You got to have a mindset to finish strong. I'm going to share with you today some scriptures that point to us how to finish strong. Anybody here interested in finishing strong your race in this life, the game of life? Well, I want to tell you, it's in your heart, because that's the Lord's heart for you. Jesus in you is speaking to you. I'm here to help you finish strong. And when you finish strong, you bring Him honor and glory. When you finish strong, it's for your good. You're blessed. I want to tell you, when you finish strong, you are a great blessing to other people, maybe even people you don't know. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit about that. Let's get your seatbelt on. I got a lot of ground to cover in a hurry, so everybody listen fast this morning. That might help me out. This week I was in another city, and I was in a Walmart parking lot, and I was there to help somebody. But in the process, I'd walked back out to my little, the Mighty Red Hawk. Y'all know the Mighty Red Hawk. And I was walking back, and there was a group of little ladies, little women that was in front of me, young, in their 20s. And they were having conversation kind of loud, okay? And it wasn't that I was eavesdropping, but, you know, I just heard them. And they were talking about getting married. They wanted to get married, and they needed a minister and couldn't find a minister. And I just said out loud, you know, because I love people, enjoy people. I said, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here on the Walmart parking lot." And they turned around and stopped their conversation, and I had them. Okay, so I threw a lure and got a strike. So I was trying to reel them in. And they said, "Well, we can't find a minister." And I said, "Well, you got the paperwork. We'll do it right here." They said, "No, we don't have the paperwork. We got to get that." And I said, "Okay, well, you can find a minister." They said, "I don't know. We're having a lot of trouble because we're lesbians, and nobody wants to marry a lesbian couple." And I said, "Well," I said, "I would like to talk to you about that." And they said, "Would you marry us?" And I said, "No, I wouldn't do that, because I want God's best for you, and I'm willing to take time to show you a better way." And they looked at me, and they said, "We don't want a better way. We want our way." And I said, "Well, that settles that." Okay. And so they were laughing, and they walked right on into Walmart. And but you know what? I want to tell you something. We have helped people, homosexual lifestyle, get free. Because I want to tell you what it is. It's bondage. I want to tell you what. There's a root of demonic in it, but it's bondage. And I want to tell you something. Lesbians, homosexuals, we've helped some get free. Not all get free. But I want to also announce to you that there's levels of freedom. And I want to tell you something. One of those beautiful promises in the Word of God is that Jesus has come to set us free. And you say, "Well, that's not, you know, God can't." Yeah, God can. Because with God, nothing's impossible. No one's gone too far for the blood of Jesus. And I want to tell you, we've seen and know people that we've helped get free from that bondage. You say, "Well, I don't believe that we ought." No, yes, we should, because I want to tell you what it is. It's sexual sin. Just like a number of other sexual sins that we could list and talk about, am I right? And so I'm telling you, Jesus loves to set people free. And so I want to tell you, we need to see the cross and not see the culture. And we need to present the freedom of Jesus. Because Jesus gives freedom life. And all the people said, amen. So God, the Bible way is the best way. Jesus' way is the best way. And I want to tell you why. They didn't let me finish my conversation, but I was going to tell them that any sexual lifestyle is a destructive lifestyle outside of marriage. It's destructive lifestyle. God don't want you to be destroyed. He don't want you to be disturbed. He don't want you to be in bondage. He wants you to be free. Hey, Jesus came to set us free. And He promises freedom. Now, there's different levels of freedom. There are some people that, and I want to tell you the promise, if you continue to walk after the Lord, as you walk with the Lord, the freer you get. There is progressive levels of freedom. Some people are free immediately. Some people, it's progressively, whether your journey of healing or restoration or renewal or rescue is immediate or whether it's progressive, Jesus is worth it and you're worth it. And so it's important for us to have a heart to follow after him. There are some people that get free from the action of sexual sin, but they still have mind games and more games inside of them, and it's something they battle with their desires. Well, there's different levels of freedom in that too. Okay? And I want to tell you, you may be at the place, or you may come to the place, I'm dealing with a number of people that are at the place, where that, you know what, they still, those desires are strong, those patterns are strong, and I want to tell you, there's no greater honor to the Lord than to surrender and sacrifice your desires for him. Now, let's be honest. There are people that have different kind of desires that want to draw them away from the Lord. I want to tell you the beautiful thing about following Jesus. You surrender to the King. You have Savior on the throne of your heart and not self. You see, there is a tendency for some people to be bitter, to be resentful, to be angry all the time. I want to tell you, that's a destructive lifestyle. And I want to tell you, according to Scripture, that's like a cancer that will absolutely spread and eat you up and destroy relationships around you. Is that Bible? Well, I want to tell you, you see, that's an opportunity. If you've had a temper, you grew up with a bad temper. And I tell you, that trigger can pull. I mean, anybody, anything, pull that trigger and you say, well, I just have a bad temper. No. I want to tell you, that's a destructive lifestyle. But I want to tell you something that's beautiful about the Holy Spirit in you. One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you is self-control. And that means that you, by the power of Christ, can learn how to say no to any desire. Wait a minute, any temptation. Wait a minute, any pattern that's been in your life does not have to define you for the rest of your life because you know Christ. And if you know Christ, the very power of Christ is in you. The very presence of Christ is in you. And Jesus said that he has overcome that we might overcome. He's our victory. Now, you know what we got to learn? We got to learn how to appropriate it. We got to learn how to walk in it. But I want to tell you, if you're 30% improved in your walk, is that great news? I want to tell you something about the Lord. You continue to walk after him. And how about 60%? Would that be great? Do we celebrate progress? Wait a minute. And he even talked about 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would 100-fold be exciting to you? Well, I want to tell you, that sounds like Jesus. Now, if you spend a season of your life, and I shared with in the huddle this morning with our leadership team, that a season can be even 13 years. We saw it a couple examples in Scripture. And I want to tell you, if your season is 13 years, I want to tell you, hey, your progress is Jesus. And when you let Jesus be your journey, okay, I know we all want a destination, but you let Jesus be your destination, he's the one that walks you in greater and greater levels of freedom. It's not something you do, it's something he does, because it's by grace, not by your works, not by your will. We're not talking about behavior modification. We're talking about inside transformation. That's the Jesus way. And God's way is the best way. Say, well, I don't understand it. Well, he's promised to teach us. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit has come to be our personal umpire, our personal life coach on how to walk and learn how to walk in freedom and liberty. Anybody want that? Well, let's continue on our healing journey then, okay? Not the world's way. And I want to tell you real quick about James 5 because we're going to kick off on verse 7. But before I get to verse 7, I got to tell you what happens in the first 7 verses. He's talking about the difference between the world's way and God's way. And one of the reasons that it's important for us is that the way that we live, the kingdom way to live, is because we reap what we sow. All right, that's true for darkness and that's true for light. Okay, so this is in James 5. Do you have your notes? Okay, it ought to be there. And so what happens in James 5 is that we reap what we sow. Our life testifies for us or against us. Your life does. Now, I want to tell you, we all know people that can say one thing and live another way. We all know people that are just smooth. I mean, you know, they can talk it up. And you listen to them and you think, man, they got it all together. But I want to tell you, their life is no soap. Okay? You say, well, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Jesus does. Okay? He knows. He's not shocked by it. And so it talks about the difference between being self-centered and Savior-centered. And self-centered is destructive. I don't care what the name or the title of the manifestation or the habit or the addiction or the expression is, self-centered is destructive. Okay? Savior-centered brings life. Love, blessings flow in it. There's a manifestation of life and death, okay, in the way you live. Are you more aware of death or are you more aware of life? Then I want to tell you, Jesus wants to bring life to you. And the fruit, whether it's on the dark side or the life side, fruit takes a season to be fully expressed. That's why that we have trouble sometimes, because people will see evil people prospering and doing well, and they seem so happy, and they look so like they're doing so good. And you say, well, what about me? You know, I'm struggling, I'm having a tough time, and there's people that's walking. Well, I want to tell you, what they're doing is temporary. And Scripture talks about that. What they're doing will be like the grass in a Texas hot summer. It'll look good for a little bit, but once the heat comes, it'll disappear. And the Bible even says that of those people, that they will so disappear that people will say, where did they go? What happened? Do you remember old so-and-so? They seem to be doing so well and having such a big time, and where are they? Even the FBI, the Family Bureau of Investigation, can't find them. And I want to tell you, because it's temporary, because it's destructive. But I want to tell you, there's a promise and a beauty in Scripture, and I hope to get that far to show you, that those that walk after the Lord will be like a palm tree, a long-lasting, fruitful palm tree, and a cedar tree. And the cedar tree was known to be strong and free and majestic for many, many years. Now, which one do you want to be? Scripture talks about the difference between an evergreen and a shrub bush in the desert. And I want to tell you, your life, you have a chooser, and let's choose life. God says, I put before you life and death. He said, choose life, because I got a lot of good in store for you. And so that brings us up to about verse 7. Let's look at it. Remember that there's a season. And, you know, in our journey, we're living, number one, for His honor and glory, for your good, and for others. And I want to tell you, your life is to be a living testimony. The Bible talks about it as living epistles. You know what living epistles is? You're a living and alive message that presents Jesus to the world. And so your life is to declare God's goodness in such a way that your life proves to the world that the Word of God is true and that Jesus is alive and true. Your life is to present to the world the good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God. And that's to make other people want God, because they see how real He is in your life. And so here we are. Now, let me just say this before I kick off on the Scripture. See, this is just intro. But it goes like this. There are setbacks in your journey. Setbacks. Do not dare look at a setback as a failure. You say, well, I was making such progress, and now look at me. No, no, no. It's temporary. Because if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you keep seeking the heart of the Lord, ask, seek, knock. It's ask. Ask, seek, knock. And you keep on asking, seeking, knocking. That's what Scripture says. Keep on. Then I want to tell you, He's promised that. You know what? He will lift you up. Hey, I shared with you, He's humble. He's not up here proud and mighty looking down on you. He's humble. He said, I am humble and I am lowly. You know what lowly is? He's right here close to you. I mean, close to the ground where you are. Hey, you in the pit, He's right there to lift you up. And I want to tell you, He loves to do that. He doesn't frown to do that. He's not mad to do that. He's glad to help you. And so He will lift you up. He will elevate you. Is that a good word? All right. So setbacks are not permanent. They're temporary. They're setups. When they've been surrendered to the Lord, and see, this is something that all of us have to do. You have to take your situation, whatever the setback is, you have to yield it to the Lord. You have to surrender it to the Lord. And I want to tell you, He can redeem. He's the Redeemer. He's the Rescuer. And I want to tell you, He'll take whatever setback has hit your life, and He will redeem it for your good and His honor and glory. That's what He's promised. And I want to tell you, so your setbacks are setups when it's yielded to God. Your setbacks are set up for promotion and victory. And so get ready. Are you ready to get ready? All right, well, let's look at verse 7. One of the important things is to remember it's a season, so you got to be patient. You got to be patient. Everybody wants everything in a hurry. Isn't it fun when it just happens quickly? I've had a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't have time, and I don't really want to pursue the Lord and walk after the Lord. Just pray over me that it'll just happen so I can get on with my life. Well, I want to tell you, God has more in store for you than just relieving you of a problem. He wants to invest Himself in you. He wants you to get to know Him. He wants you to gain Him. And so I want to tell you, so you got to be patient, brethren and sistern. You got to be patient. Look at this in the Amplified. So be patient, brethren, verse 7, James 5. As you wait. Now wait, wait. We see that sometimes in Scripture, the waiting on the Lord. What is the waiting of the Lord? It's not being a bump on a stump. It's seeking God. It's not inactivity. It's spiritual activity. Did you get that? All right. It's spirit-led activity. It's taking a place where you're not relying on your works, you're relying on His. New Testament calls it resting in Him. Resting in Him is the place of believing and trusting and relying on and depending on Him. It's humility. It's yielding yourself before the Lord. And you're seeking the Lord. See, it's spirit-led activity. Till the coming of the Lord. And so I want to tell you, this is a beautiful picture that we don't have a death focus. We don't have a funeral focus, a death focus. We have a Lord's return focus. That's the way believers are to look. Not for death, for the return. All right? So, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. So see how the farmer waits. You see, he's given us a picture here. See how the farmer waits expectantly. See, that's the deal. Expectantly, that's what hope is expecting, is having a hope, is expecting God's goodness in your future. It's a positive expectation of God's goodness. That's what hope is. Man, that's powerful. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. I want to tell you what happens with the farmer. Right now, he's looking at the land. It looks bare. He's broken up the ground. He's planted seed. But at this point, it looks like harvest will never take place. But he has a vision in his heart. On the inside screen of his heart, he sees harvest. Now, this is what we need as believers. We need an inside screen hope. Hope on the inside screen of our heart. That we see what God wants to do for us. Do you know what God wants to do for you? Have you received from the Lord what harvest really looks like, what He looks like in your life? Then I want to tell you, you need to. How are you going to cooperate if you don't know what He wants to do? Most places I preach, people don't have a clue about what God wants to do in their life. Well, I want to tell you, you need to know. God wants you to know. Now, He's not going to show you every step between here and there, but He wants you to see what He wants to do in your life. Wow. The farmer has that. And so because he has that picture of harvest in his heart, he keeps his patient vigil over it until he receives the early and later rains. Now, I want to tell you, his part, plow the ground, sow the seed. His part is to believe and trust and expect the harvest. But I want to tell you, he knows that it'll never happen without the supernatural work of God. It's not something he does. He knows that only God can send the early rain and the latter rain. The early rain to cause the growth, the latter rain before the harvest. And so I want to tell you, he's depending on God. He's trusting and he's depending on God. What are you believing for? What are you depending on God for? Keep on keeping on. Continue toward the goal. Jesus is the goal. But we wait assertively. We wait actively until he comes. He said, occupy till I come. Farmers have that vision of harvest. They believe and act out of faith with the expectation of rain provision. What are you depending on God's provision for God to do what you can't do? That's harvest provision. Hope sees the harvest before the harvest. Part of the problem that we have, and I just got to mention this and run on, is that we don't have a vision of victory or of freedom. Whatever you're struggling with, if it's physical, you don't have a vision of healing. Your vision is sickness. And so you got to have a vision in your heart where on the big screen of your heart, you see yourself healed. You see yourself free. You see yourself liberated. You see yourself walking in the best of God for your life. And that's something we got to have in here. And that's something that God wants to give. So verse 8 says this again. And notice it's saying it again. It must be important. So you must also must be patient. Somebody say the word persevere. It means to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. When it looks like it'll never happen, you keep on keeping on. Now, I love this, and the Amplified brings it out. Establish your hearts. What does that mean, to establish your heart? Look at what it brings out in the original language. Strengthen and confirm them in final certainty. Be convinced. See it. Believe it. Speak it. There's power when you speak what God's put in your heart. See it. Believe it. Speak it. Be convinced of it to final certainty. For the coming of the Lord is near. Soon and very soon. I want to tell you, we don't know when our game's going to be over. You see, it's not like ball where you got a time clock on the wall. We don't have that. But we know it's soon. I played one ball game where the lights went out on the scoreboard. And the only ones that knew the time was the refs. And I kept trying to ask the ref, how much time, how much time? He said, just play ball, son. Okay? I'm telling you, that's a word for us. I tell you, you play ball, you live the game of life, you pursue and follow after the Lord. Like this is the fourth quarter and there's only 2 minutes left. It may be the halftime of your life, but we don't know. And so let's seek after the Lord, for the coming of the Lord is very near. Keep your heart energized. I love that. That's our part. Hey, that's something David did on the lowest day of his life. When they had been out at battle and they were so wore out and they come back and the enemy had come and stolen their families and stolen all their stuff. And they were flat wore out. And his team, his warriors that had been with him all this time, they were so broken, so hurt. The worst day of David's life, it says that he cried till he couldn't cry any more tears. You ever been there? He was there. His men were there. As a matter of fact, his own men had been faithful to him all this time, talked about killing him. You know what David did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to tell you, that's something we can do. Because we have an advantage because of New Covenant. We have the Holy Spirit right here in us. And he will personally help encourage you in the Lord. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. You have amazing help called the Comforter himself. And we are to keep our heart energized and committed. This is resting in the Lord. It means to believing, the place of believing. His coming's near. Look forward to his coming. Remember, we're not death-focused, we're life-focused. Do not complain. Verse 9 says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Look up. The judge is already standing at the door. He's on the way in. He's on the way here. And I want to tell you what we got to do. If you find yourself complaining, this is what Bible says. You're off the love lane. You've been distracted. You're off in another area. And you're not fulfilling your purpose if you're complaining. The complaining of your mouth reveals blame in your heart. And you may be complaining against a human, but let me tell you something. Hey, ultimately, maybe secretly, maybe without recognition, if you're blaming people for where you are or where you're not, you're blaming God. And so it's very, very important that we don't go into the negative. If you go into the negative about blaming, listen, if you're focusing on people, you miss. We've got to keep our focus on the Lord. And if you're complaining, if you're disturbed, your heart's wounded or hurt, I want to tell you, we got to get back in the love lane. All right, the Bible says let it go. You got to forgive them. Let it go, because it's in the love lane that your healing is. It's in the love lane where your restoration and your rescue is. It's in the love lane where your promotion and your victory is, where you reveal the setup from the setback. And so it's important to walk in the love lane. And I want to tell you, keep in mind that the judge is standing at the door. You know what that means? Hey, he's coming, and he's coming soon. We don't have time for these distractions. We don't have time to get off course. Keep your focus on the Lord. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Be negative. If you're negative, you're out of focus. You're out of love. That's a sign. Listen to your words. If you're complaining and murmuring, you're distracted and disturbed. If you complain, you blame. That's a good way to remember it. Verse 10, as an example of suffering and ill treatment together with patience, brethren, take the prophets. Remember the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as his messengers. Now, I want to tell you, they're great examples for us all through Scripture, how that people were willing to suffer because they loved God. They were willing to suffer and be persecuted because they believed God and because they trusted God and they took a stand for God. And I want to tell you, those stories inspire us. Now, suffering on the outside or on the inside, the Lord has the same goal, to bring us to victorious fellowship with him. Now, I got to try to explain this in seconds, where I need to do a series on it. But I want to tell you, hey, I'm not saying God sends suffering, but God can redeem suffering if it's surrendered to him. Do you see that? I mean, Jesus made it real clear. Hey, it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the Lord that brings life, abundant living. And so I'm here to tell you something. Suffering comes in this journey. And I want to tell you, when you yield and surrender, humble yourself before the Lord, and you surrender it to the Lord, he can take your suffering. I don't care if it's inside or outside. The same thing is true. You got to have inside victory before the outside victory shows up. And so on the inside of your heart, no matter what the persecution looks like, no matter what the suffering looks like, you pursue him. You yield to him, because he is able, when you yield it to him, he's able to redeem it. Hey, to transform you to be more like him. And so that's why Papa Billheimer wrote the book, Don't Waste Your Sorrows. That's why T.A. Sparks wrote and said, in your troubles, gain Christ. Because when you gain Christ, I want to tell you something, you're winning. And you got to win on the inside before you do the outside. And I want to tell you, let me just say this to you. Your suffering's temporary. You say, well, it's been a long time. It's temporary. And that's the way we're to look at it. We're to see him as our victory. He receives glory when we gain Christ through the suffering, through the fire of suffering. He receives glory, and he brings us into his goodness. He brings us into his rescue. He brings us into his restoration. There's a picture in the Old Testament about the refiner's fire. And I want to tell you, the fire, I'm not saying the fire is God. Okay, I already explained to you that the enemy brings fire into our life, persecution and suffering into our life. But I want to tell you what the Lord promises to do. When you yield to him, he says that he will sit. He will be the goldsmith in your life. He'll be the silversmith in your life. And he'll sit right down there by you, and he will walk you through it. And he will take the opportunity to redeem your life. He's going to transform you into his glory. And what he'll do, what that silversmith does, is that as the fire is burning in that metal, the metal probably thinks it's going to die. But what the silversmith does is that he takes the dross that comes to the top. You know what that is? That's the impurities that come out of our life. I want to tell you, one of the fires that I went through years ago, if you'd have asked me beforehand, I'd have said, well, I could probably use a tune-up. But I had no clue I needed an overhaul. But the Lord knew, and I want to tell you, the Lord didn't send what suffering came to my life. But I want to tell you, I yielded to him, and in the yielding and surrendering to him, he redeemed it for my good and for his glory and for blessing to many others. That's the way the Lord wants to work. He redeems it. He clears away the impurities. And what the goldsmith does, or the silversmith, is that he studies it. And he's right there by it, and he's watching. And the impurities he wipes away. And when he can see the reflection of his face, we begin to look like him. I want to tell you, we're going to another level. Because then he's able to fashion us into a vessel that will bring much fruit into the kingdom. So we were to reflect his glory. He's with us through it. I'm going to announce it like this. Persecution promotes the kingdom. I want to tell you, he is your rescue. He is your grace through it all. But I want to tell you something that he doesn't deliver you from immediately is persecution. Because he's using the refiner's fire. Now, you have immediate help because we seek him and we receive life and love and comfort. And I want to tell you, he's not disciplining you. He is disciplining you, but he's not punishing you. He's developing you. There's a big difference. He's developing you into an image to bring him honor and glory. And that you'll be blessed and others will be blessed. Persecution promotes the kingdom. We study the example of the prophets, the people that loved God. We see it in our present day. And they're inspirational examples. And what he's saying is that you can be that for others. Wow. Verse 11. You know how we call those blessed who were steadfast. They experience a victory and a happy and a breakthrough for those who continue to endure. Hey, I want to tell you, we honor and celebrate them. In the same way we honor and celebrate them, people are going to honor and celebrate you for persevering, for continuing to seek and to follow after the Lord through it all. You've heard the endurance of Job. Man, what an example Job is. And you've seen the Lord's purpose on how he richly blessed him in the end. I want to tell you, it was always God's heart to double bless Job. To double bless him. So I want to tell you, you may have been going through stuff for a long time. You may feel like you're on the losing end. I want to tell you, don't give up. Be patient. Endure. Keep your focus on the Lord. Keep pursuing the Lord. Because I want to tell you, the end victory is what it's going to look like for you is double blessing. Could you stand double blessing? You know how blessed you are now. Come on, what about some double blessing? That's more blessing than you can contain. As a matter of fact, there's so much blessing that you're to share, and that's what we're here for. Not to just be blessed, but to be a blessing. Oh, that brings some honor and glory. Because this is what we see about the Lord and what he's trying to convey to us. Is that the Lord's purpose, the Lord's heart for you, for him, and for Job and for you, is to richly bless you because he's a great, great father. The Lord is full of pity and compassion. He's full of tenderness and mercy. Do you see that? He proves to us and others that he is full of compassion and tender and mercy in your life. That's why people will look at your life and say, look, what the Lord's done for them, the Holy Spirit is saying he can do for me. Man, that makes me want to shout. Verse 12. But above all things, brethren. Now, I want to tell you, when he says that, it means something important. Do not swear, either by heaven or earth or any other oath, but let your yes be a simple yes and your no be a simple no, so that you may not sin and fall under condemnation. Now, I want to tell you what this is talking about. I have it real simple. Don't be under contract to things that are not fulfilling your divine kingdom purpose. Because I want to tell you, one of the things the enemy do, if he can't get you off on the bad stuff, if he can't tempt you with the bad sins, then I want to tell you what the enemy will do. He'll bring good stuff along. Good stuff that the world clap about. That even the church will say, well, that's okay. That's not bad. But what he'll do, he'll bring so much good in your life that you're so committed. You've given so many oaths. You've given so many commitments to your life and to your time that you don't have time for the main thing. Let the main thing be the main thing. Because if you're so committed to the little things of your life that you don't have time for Jesus, the enemy wins. Because you're not fulfilling your purpose. My, my, my. So let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you don't fall under sin. Because I want to tell you, you can be off your life busy and consumed with good things and your heart be away from God. your heart not be fresh with God. Your heart not walking with God. And I want to tell you what that does. You become stale. And when you become stale, I want to tell you something. You can believe a lie real easy when you're not walking in the truth. Your words will chain your life to bondage. Make sure that the main thing is the main thing. If your life belongs to the Lord, and it does if you've given your life to Jesus, then the Lord needs to be in charge of your schedule. He needs to be in charge of your commitments. Are you listening, church? Are you going to honor the Lord? Life or death? Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering evil? Then I want to tell you, we've talked about suffering comes. People do you wrong. But I want to tell you what the Bible says about that, because that happens. And so it says, when any of you, now it's talking like we're all connected together. Because we are. I want to tell you something. We need one another. And we're more connected than what you think. And I want to tell you, if you're struggling in an area, it affects the body of Christ. If you're being blessed in an area, it affects the body of Christ. We affect one another. You say, well, nobody knows. No, I'm telling you, spiritual realm, we're connected. And we affect one another. And this is what he's talking about. When you, some of you, any of you, fall into affliction, ill-treated and suffering, that comes. All those who live godly will suffer persecution. You say, well, I've never suffered any. Well, come on now. Let's live godly. You don't have to advertise for it. It'll show up. And let me say this to you. If you don't run into the devil face to face sometime, y'all might be walking in the same direction. So it's important, okay, that you walk after the Lord. And when you do, you can just expect that there's going to be resistance and challenge in your life. But if you're afflicted, then what you do? You pray. I want to tell you, you go to prayer. Because I want to tell you what prayer is. Prayer doesn't change God. I want to tell you what prayer does. It changes you. It keeps your heart in tune to receive from the Lord. Because I want to tell you what he promised. He said, I'm giving you more grace than you can possibly use. And grace is unmerited favor. And so, hey, in the midst of being challenged and attacked or whatever, God's giving you more grace than you could possibly use. And I want to tell you, when you're receiving the grace and the love life of the Lord, and you're receiving of the Lord, see, it's that rest area. Hey, that spiritual activity of resting, of waiting on the Lord, and you're receiving, letting the Lord minister to you. He shows forth as strength even in your weakness. This shows the world that he's real. And I want to tell you, God loves to do that. So what are we to do? We're to pray. He's our rescue. He's our rescue. Hey, is anyone glad at heart? He should sing and praise God. Well, why? Well, because we affect one another. Your praise is not only good for you, because that's how it's a gate, it's a doorway to enter the very presence, kingdom, manifested kingdom of God. So praise and thanksgiving is important for you, but it blesses the Lord. You know, your praise blesses the Lord. Isn't it great that we can bless the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth? We can bless him by praise and thanksgiving. You can't do it too much. So, blesses the Lord. It blesses you. It gives you glasses to see the goodness of God. Okay? We don't praise afterwards. We praise beforehand. Before, during, and after. And so, listen, your heart's rejoicing. You best get to praising. Get your praise on, because not only does it affect you, it affects other people around you, because we're connected. Not only that, but it blesses other people. Okay, it affects people. Your praise will encourage other people's hearts to praise and to celebrate and bring them honor and glory. So what do? We pray and praise. That's a good combination right there. Pray, because he's our rescue. He's our rewarder. I want to tell you, everything that you go through on this journey, every affliction, every rejection, every trouble and trial you go through, you keep your heart toward the Lord, you seek after. I want to tell you something. The Lord is a rewarder, and he will reward you for everything that you go through in this earth while you're on this earth. And it may not be on the outside. It may be on the inside. But I want to tell you, if you're blessed on the inside, it'll show up outside some way, somehow. And I want to tell you, in the midst of a storm in your life, you can receive that personal, intimate fellowship of the Lord where that you are ruling and reigning in His peace. And people will look at you and say, hey, what's wrong with you? You ought to be, you know, like a wet paper bag just falling apart. You know, look at you. What's going on here? It's just Jesus. It's just peace. How do you explain it? I can't. It's just J-E-S-U-S. Because it's a peace that passeth all understanding. And I want to tell you, that's the Lord. He's our rewarder. And so whatever you go through, I want to tell you, you surrender and submit to Him. He redeems it for His honor and glory and for your good, for the blessing of others. You praise all day. You can't praise too much. Praise all day keeps the devil away. I try to be cute, but I'm trying to get some truth across. Because I want to tell you, he's allergic to praise. He was a praise leader one time. He's allergic to it. He can't stand it. And you begin to praise. I want to tell you, the presence of God is manifested. He said he inhabits the praises of his people. It means he camps out there. And the devil don't want to be around. You cannot praise and have the mully grubs at the same time. Hey, we're connected. We affect one another for His honor and glory, for your good, and to help others. You know what? We respond to stuff. Whether it's good stuff or bad stuff, you respond in the same way. You pray and give thanks. You praise. We affect one another. We're connected to one another. How about verse 13? This is where I've been trying, verse 14, where I've been trying to get to. And I got a lot of time left, so y'all listen fast. Is anyone among you sick? I love this. Is anyone among you sick? I want to tell you what made a difference in our church life. Is a few years ago, when we were getting these calls on Sunday morning. Some of you are going to remember this because it was a day of destiny for our church. We're getting all kind of calls. That's sick. I'm sick. I'm sick. I can't be. I'm sick. I'm sick. No condemnation to folk that are sick. We live in a fallen world. Got stuff in this fallen world. There's a devil. There's flesh. Sickness can come. But I want to tell you, I saw something wrong with our church when we, instead of asking, is there anyone sick? I said, is there anyone well? Come on now. Let's go by the Bible. Let's not go by what the government says, what social says. Let's go by Bible. Is anyone sick? Okay. I didn't get knocked down with amen, so I'm going to say a little more on it. Sickness is not the normal state of life for a believer. Because I want to tell you, sickness came because of the sin of Adam. Okay, there was no sickness before sin. So I want to announce this to you. Jesus came. Hey, by one man's sin, disobedience. We sin because we're a sinner. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA. But when we accept Christ, we get a new DNA. We're a new creation. We have a new covenant. Better promises. We got a better relationship with God. And I want to tell you something. Hey, it's real for us to believe God for wellness. He proved that He wants wellness because He went around and healed so many people. Doing good, spreading the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you something. Sickness is a form of death. It's not a form of life. Now be careful now, because you know what? We can be on a healing journey. We should be, because Jesus is the healer. Does He use doctors? Yes. Does He use medicine? Yes. But I want to tell you, Jesus needs to be your focus. Dr. Jesus needs the first and last word. Listen. If you allow and consent for any sin or any temptation or even any sickness to be a resident, a permanent resident in you, a resident will become president. Hey, whatever power, what Scripture says, whatever power we yield to will rule over you. And so, one of the first things we can do is present ourselves to the Lord Our bodies and our life is a living sacrifice. This is acceptable to God. He loves this. Okay? And so, look, is there anyone sick? Then he should call for the spiritual elders, the church elders, the spiritual leadership in the church, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. That's what Bible says. And so, you know what? That's what we do. Well, Brother Tim, can you explain it all? No, I can't. Let's just obey the Bible. Our part's to do the believing, our part's to do the praying. It's the Lord that does the healing. That's his part. We don't put condemnation on people. You know what? We look to Jesus. What we want to make sure is that when you get prayed for, you know that you're loved on. Whether you have an immediate manifestation of healing or whether it's a progressive journey, if you know that you've been loved on, you've been ministered to. Because Jesus wants to love on you. And so here we go. You know what? That's why we did it. We should pray over him, anointing with oil in the Lord's name. Hey, because we're a team. It's not a solo journey. We need each other. So if you're sick, hey, whether of heart, of mind, or body, you come. This leadership every Sunday meets right back here after service to anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, and pray over you. And you know what? We pray with thanksgiving. We leave with thanksgiving. Because we're trusting the Lord. Amen. Let God be God. And the prayer, that's my time running out. Okay, two more verses. Can you handle me for two more verses? And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick. I want to tell you, say, well, I'm not there. You don't have to be. You just come. You may not have the faith. Well, I want to tell you something. The leadership team does. I pointed to little Gina this morning. I pointed to little Joanna because either one of my legs weighed more than them. It's not based on weight. It's not based on a title. Their leadership team, you know what? The same Jesus dwells in me, dwells in them. The same Jesus dwells in any pastor here, dwells in them. You know what we do? We look to Jesus. We obey Jesus. I want to tell you, when Gina or little Joanna lays their hands on you, and they pray, they anoint you, lay hands, and they pray over you in Jesus' name, sickness go away. Disturbance go away. Addiction go away. I want to tell you, that's our part. But I want to tell you what Bible says. This is God's part, is that the prayer of faith will save him who is sick. Do you want to get better? Do you want to be sick less often? When you do get sick, you want to get well sooner? Well, this is what we do. We pray and believe. We pray and praise. That's our part. I want to tell you, God does his part. Are we going to trust God or trust man? I bet you trust the medical world a little less than you did 4 or 5 years ago. Okay, that's I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying that's where we should have been to start with, is believing, trusting God. And look at this. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Now, not every sickness is tied to sin. Some are. But it don't matter. I'm going to tell you how big God is, how his heart's so big for you. Whether it's sin-related or not related, the Lord wants to rescue you. I tell you, priority with God, he wants you to know you're forgiven. Because in that position of forgiveness is how we receive everything else. That's our authority. That's our blessing. It all comes through the blood. Knowing that we're forgiven. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Be careful. I'm not, some people say, well, you know, you're so big on grace, you belittle sin. No. I want to tell you something. You don't want to sin because sin will invite the enemy in. Sin says yes to the enemy. It paints a target on your back. You don't want that. You don't want the enemy having part of your mind. You don't have that much left anyway. Excuse me, it slipped. But what I'm saying, we don't have any to give away. We want our minds renewed by the Word of God. And so, don't give it away. I'm just going to announce this. Because of the cross, if you know Jesus, sin has no power over you unless you yield to it. Man, I got stuff on that. I ain't got time. Okay, I love you so much. Last verse. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults. I want to tell you, humble yourself before one another. If you've got this
big thing in you. I don't want nobody to know. I'm not going to tell anybody. No,
I want to tell you about that. It's pride. And in the middle of the pride is a big I. It ought to be capitalized every time. Big I. And I want to tell you something. Pride will limit God in your life. He even says in Scripture that he will resist his own over pride. I want to tell you the way to be is to humble yourself before God and man. Openness before man reveals genuineness with God. I want to tell you, we ought to love one another enough that if one of us slips and falls, look at the description here. Slips, false steps, offenses, your sins, okay? We ought to be open enough, loving one another enough to give each other room to stumble and fall and not be rejected. This is the family of God. This is the forgiveness of Jesus here. We're expressions of the forgiveness of Christ. And I don't want to tell you, when a brother or sister, he ought to be able to come to you and say, look, I stumbled this week. Okay. Well, here we are, man. Let's get up. What are we dealing with? Okay. The Lord's bigger than that. You are a forgiven person. Oh, come on now. I've told some of you that in hospital beds. I've walked in and told you, I'm looking at a forgiven man. I'm looking at a forgiven woman. Because I want to tell you, your forgiveness is not based on you or your report card. Am I right, Pastor? Our forgiveness is based on his report card. And it's a good one. And that's how we can receive. And look, so we confess to one another our faults. We're open and honest with one another, and we pray for one another. And what happens? That you'll be healed and restored, because that's God's heartbeat for you, is to get out of the pit, to get up off the ground, and be healed and restored. Hey, not just in the physical, but in your heart and in your mind. The earnest, heart-filled, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And you may feel like, I just don't have it in me. You don't have to. You come. We're the part of the body of Christ. We're together. We're family. You come and let those who have a spiritual heartbeat pray for you. And according to the Bible, there's great power, tremendous power available. It will be dynamic in its working. That's out of the original. You know what dynamic comes from? Dynamite. It's God's power. We're talking about resurrection power. I love you so much. I got to stop. Don't believe the lie that there's some kind of roof between you and God and he don't want you. Don't believe a lie that there's some kind of roof off that God has said no to you, that it's too late for you. That's a lie. The enemy will come with a lie. I want to tell you what the truth is. The shepherd has come to find you. All you got to do is consent. You know what repent is? Change your mind. I don't want to be stuck in the thorns no more. I don't want to be in the ditch anymore. I don't want to be out alone in the dark where the wolves and everything are seeking to destroy me. I want my shepherd. I want to go back to the flock. I choose life, not death. And you know what? Just consent. Say it. Repentance means change your mind. Say yes to God. Shepherd will come and pick you up and put you on his shoulders. And you know what? You don't have to run back, walk back, carry a big burden back, suffer back. I want to tell you, he'll put you on his shoulder and he will carry you back. That's the shepherd. That's your shepherd. That's what he wants to do to it. Would you bow your heads? And let's just seek the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you that your great love overwhelms us. Lord Jesus, I pray that every lie of the enemy will be exposed this morning by your word. That your love will melt every bondage. That, Lord, that with our eyes of our heart and the ears of our heart, that they will be open to hear you and to see you. To see that you truly, truly love us. And that you truly, truly want to love on us. And that you want to rescue us and restore us, that this brings you great joy. This causes heaven to celebrate. And so, Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you, and we release by the power of your Spirit that there will be great personal revelation of Jesus from this message today, that we'll see you. Praise. And all the people said,